Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on December 19th, 2014 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. Seven storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, These Dreams. This week's story comes to us from Ethan Siegel and is titled, Supporting the Dream of a Young Father or It Takes a Village. Thank you for listening.
Good evening, Missoula. Wow, what support we have up here to tell us these stories that we have. I'm really fortunate to be able to have the opportunity to tell you this story of a dream I had when I was very young. I had a dream of being a father at a very young age. I liked working with children, babysitting, summer camp counselor, leading trips for kids all over the world. And I appreciated that I could be myself with these guys. I appreciated they didn't judge me for being silly. I was praised for being silly. And they were in the present. And I wanted one of my own, basically. And after a long time of working with kids, about 10 years ago, I met this woman in Chicago. And she had a child. And we started dating a little bit, and she'd tell me stories about her child and how horrible his father is because they were separated. And I got drawn in, and I fell in love with this child, and I fell in love with the idea of rescuing him and being an adequate father for this child and a positive role model. That was my job. And so I moved in with this girl, and it was an experience for sure. Moving in with my girl was my first major relationship. I ended up marrying her eventually, to tell you the truth. And it was rough. And I tried to, and parts of me wanted to leave the relationship because it wasn't healthy. But this child needed me, and so I told myself, and so she told me as well. So I stuck in it. I stood with it. I didn't want to live in Chicago anymore. I wanted to live out west, out here. And the boy's father was still involved, and there was no way he was going to let us move out to Missoula. So we got a lawyer, and the lawyer said, if you want to move to Missoula, you have to flee, basically. You have to leave in the middle of the night. You have to get there, you have to plant your roots, and then it'll be harder for him to come back home. And then you can have custody of this child, both. And so we did it, because we felt like that's what was right. We packed our car in the middle of the night, and we left, and we came out here. We bought a house. We started a daycare business 2 months later, up and running. I started a separate business after that, catering lunches to schools. And we were building our roots. We were doing it. And we were fighting him in court as well at the same time. She got pregnant with her second child, my first. And the pregnancy was rough for her, was rough for me as well. Mental illnesses started to come up, and she got later diagnosed with them. However, I didn't know what was going on. Suicide threats while she was pregnant. A manipulation of if she was angry at me, she'd smoke a cigarette or drink a glass of wine or a bottle of wine. I had no control. But I told myself that this is marriage, right? This is how, it's a struggle. But I believed that I could help her get better. And I was in it. I vowed to her I was in it and I wasn't going to leave. Our son was born. It was beautiful. He's awesome. But I was miserable in this relationship, and it took the police to come and physically remove me from the relationship. One night she came home extremely angry, and she attacked me. I still have a mark on my wrist from her biting me. And then she proceeded to call the cops and said that I was the one that was hurting her. Two female cops showed up, and someone's got to go to jail for a domestic abuse call. And so that was me. And I went to jail. I spent the night in jail. And that shit was intense. Lots of stuff going through my head. I didn't feel like I was supposed to be there. How did I get myself in this situation? How do I get to see my kid again? Why am I dressed in all orange? Like, they took everything from me. I orange everything. I didn't know what to do. Obviously, I was still, I had trouble getting out of jail, to tell you the truth. And my dear friend was opening a restaurant that same night, and he got cash out of his opening till for that restaurant, gave it to a friend to bail me out of jail. So that was the first time Missoula came to my rescue. He also brought me in and let me live with him while I figured out all this stuff. All I wanted was to see my son. And I went to the judge and I told him that. And he said it had to be approved by his mom. Because there was a restraining order out of part against me. That's protocol for domestic abuse. And she was okay with it. That's how things weren't working right. And she said that's fine. So at 8 months old, I started taking care of this baby full time. I was on WIC checks, buying formula, waking up throughout the night. But this kid saved me. You know, I was able to focus my energy on raising this child instead of going all sorts of different directions, you know. When she realized that I wasn't coming back home, I wasn't going to get involved in that relationship, she started to spiral out of control. And she sent her other son back to Chicago to live with this apparently horrible father of his. So 2 years of fighting custody battle, she sends him back. She then, after I did get out of jail, she drained the bank accounts that we shared, which I don't know how you're allowed to do that, to tell you the truth, if you share a bank account. But she did. I didn't go back to the daycare business. The catering lunch business was struggling. I had no money. I was trying to raise this kid. I started this farmer's market business, and I was able to support myself out of all these Missoulians buying sandwiches from me. And I was able to work just Saturdays. And raise my kid the rest of the week. That was all the money we needed, you know. We cut down our expenses. We came super frugal. We rented rooms and house with friends. We sold my car. I had this nice saxophone that I sold. And we were surviving. Eventually, the spiral out of control included destroying the house that we lived in, closing the business, telling everyone if they wanted a refund, they had to talk to me. So I got angry families calling me, even though I was out of the business for about 6 months at that point. She became very promiscuous and told me about all the men she was sleeping around with in town. She destroyed the house with hammers and bleach on the carpet, spray paint on the wall, I love fucking your wife, stuff like that I came and found when I tried to clean out my stuff throughout this process. Eventually, the judge saw pictures of the destruction of the house, and she got evicted. And the house foreclosed. We lost that as well. And the judge ordered that she was unfit to see her child unless under supervised visitations. So we started doing that. I would bring my son to this Planet Kids, and she would come and see him with other people watching. We did that for about a month and a half before she skipped town. She hasn't been back, and she hasn't seen her son since he was 1 year old. Luckily, the market was starting up after that, and I started to work the market again, and everyone just supported me financially and emotionally. I didn't feel like I was raising my son by myself because Missoula's awesome. And he's got several fathers, several mothers. The financial support from the market, we just kept on. We were getting through it, but I had to leave town, and I left town with Canyon. Oh, shit. I left town with him right before he was 2 years old, because it's a free plane ticket before he turns two. He sat on my lap, and we flew down to the Caribbean and Costa Rica, and we got there and stayed there for 6 months, doing nothing, living on the beach, reflecting on all the crazy shit that just happened. And we got embraced by the community down there, too, by all the parents and the other single parents that were there, and we were welcomed. After 6 months, I ran out of money, so I came back to Missoula, and I worked the market again, only Saturdays, raising my son during the week. Another successful market, thanks to everyone in this awesome town. After that, I went back to Costa Rica, and we kept doing this for 4 years. We did this. And he just started kindergarten this year. He just turned six on Thursday. And and the healing process still goes. This is huge for me. I've never really told the story before, especially to all these people. There's a lot of fucking people here. But it's a thank you to you guys too, you know, because I did achieve my dream. And I'm still living my dream. And it's been a struggle. And it's been quite an experience. But I'm doing it thanks to you guys financially supporting me, emotionally supporting me, the people in Costa Rica stepping up. And while dreams are hard to achieve sometimes, if we got the right supporting cast, we can do anything. So thank you, Missoula.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and live storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel. Custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. RockandRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com, and thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers. Beth Jaffe, Shelby Humphreys, Pat Williams, Ethan Siegel, Blake Nicolazzo, Jack Rowan, and Karen McNenny. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and learn about the themes 2015. TellUsSomething.org. Thank you for listening. Have a great one.